ruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch means it's Thursday, 10 p.m., and time for So What's Your Story? The coolest place on your dial because it's the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling. Right here on listener-sponsored KPFT Houston 90.1 FM on your dial. I'm your guest host, Andy Goss, stepping in for Hank Rubicek. I'm confident we will have a great show tonight because of the indispensable Shannon McKerchney is here by my side, and we have a wonderful teller for you tonight. Hank asked me to thank all of you who donated so generously during last week's Summer Sizzle. It's clear that the art of storytelling, with its engaging spirit and soul, is embedded deep in the heart of Houstonians. And as president of the Houston Storytellers Guild, I especially appreciate that. And I appreciate the amazing tellers at Grace's studio every week, as Hank peddles week in and week out. Guest tellers on this program take us on magical journeys before returning us safely to the present. And tonight we will travel to an annual upcoming event, getting ready for the new school year. And we will get ready for new school by exploring old school. And I mean that literally. Although there has been an old school TV series, old school movie, and even a novel entitled Old School, many users of this popular adage fail to know its true meaning. So let's get that settled. Old school is anything from an earlier era or anything considered old-fashioned. It's stuff that's been around a while, a long while. It implies lasting power and quality, typewriters, Instamatic cameras, Crayola crayons, ink cartridge pens, plastic zippered pencil cases positioned in front of your blue canvas notebook, cassette recorders and lunchboxes, to name a few old-school school supplies. If you're thinking, give me a break. No one wants that stuff. Think again, youngsters, because the Vermont Country Store Catalog, Etsy, and eBay, to name a few, are healthy, wealthy, and wise thanks to their boomer founders and vows to vest in the vintage. Tonight's guest, Chris Jackson, will talk old school and have us laughing more than the law allows. Thanks to being a product of Dr. Hank's storytelling course, he's been here before, and in just a few moments you'll understand why we've invited him back. Chris is a pastor at Faith Walk Church. He graduated this past spring with honors in communications from the University of Houston downtown and will begin his master's program in rhetoric and composition at UHD this fall. He has 5 kids, 3 grandkids, and believe that old school is a must-learn notion for anyone wanting to start the school year with a too cool for school vibe. Welcome, Chris. I know you were here back in May and had a great time. What is it about telling stories so much that's so much fun for you?
The enjoyment that stories bring to others. I really enjoy seeing smiles on people's faces.
Tell us a little about the church in which you're pastor.
Faith Walk Church, we're located in the Northeast Houston area of Houston. We have a wonderful congregation with wonderful people just trying to make an impact on people's lives.
That's wonderful. Your first story is about a typical old school product, sneakers, or as we call it down here, tennies or tennis shoes. This will be fun. So tell us, Chris, what's your story?
When I was on my way to 9th grade, and back when I was in school, 9th grade was still in junior high. And, unfortunately, I say unfortunately, we were not able to get new shoes for school every year. But this particular year, my mom had decided that she was going to buy my brother and I new shoes for school this year. So she told us the Friday night before that we were going school shopping the next day. So, of course, us being young boys, I was about 13, excited because it was a pair of tennis shoes that I had been dreaming about. I would wake up in the middle of the night thinking about these shoes. So we were on our way to Northwest Mall, and a lot of Houstonians are familiar with that mall. And we were on our way the next morning, to Saturday morning, on our way to Northwest Mall, and the only thing I could think about was coming home with my dream shoes. So we showed up at the store, the first shoe store, and we went in. And my mom always wanted us to have our feet measured before the shoes was brought out. So when they measured my foot measured a 10. So the young man went to the back of the store. I showed him the shoes that I wanted. He went to the back of the store and came back with disappointing news. He didn't have the shoes I wanted in a size 10. So my mom and said, well, let's go to the next shoe store. And we got up, went to the next shoe store. As tradition would have it, we got our feet measured again. And unbelievably, my foot measured a size 11 this time. So they met the young man. I showed him the shoes I wanted. And my anticipation was so high, and I was so excited. And he came back with no shoes. He said that they didn't have that shoe in a size 11. So right about now, I'm beginning to feel disappointment. I'm getting sad because I'm thinking I'm not going to be able to get my dream shoes. So it was another store in the mall. My mom took us there. A young man came out again, measured my foot in the third store. Unbelievably, I know many of you in radio land not going to believe this, but my foot measured a size 12. I had moved from a 10 to a 12 in just two stores. The young man, I showed him the shoe I wanted. He went to the back, and again, he came back, said, we don't have that shoe in a size 12. So now I'm giving up because my mom thought that it was only three shoe stores in Northwest Mall. So I'm crying. I'm disappointed. And the young shoe salesman said, it's a new shoe store that opened up right down to the end of the mall near Foley's. So we went down there. We went into the store. I seen the shoes that I wanted. The young man measured my foot. And this time my foot measured a size 13. My foot had grown three shoe sizes in the matter of minutes. So the young man went to the back. He came out with the shoes, and oh my goodness, they fit. They look wonderful. And I left that store with my Converse shoes, and I know a lot of us call them Chuck Taylors. They were to us what they call, to the younger generation now, we get excited about Jordans. We got excited about Chuck Taylors, and I finally had my dream shoes the day my foot grew three shoe sizes in a matter of minutes.
That's great. Hopefully your head didn't grow that much large in a matter of 3 minutes, Chris. Now, I know that people will be find this unbelievable.
Yes, sir.
But Chuck Taylors were cost nowhere what the cost of a Michael Jordan costs.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir.
Where it might have been, where it's $100, $150 today, it might have been $15 or $20 back when you bought sneakers.
I think they were $25 shoes at that time.
I can understand that. I'm Andy Goss, filling in for Hank. You are listening to the guest storyteller Chris Jackson on So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. It's 89.5 in Galveston and 90.3 in Livingston. Or if you can't get us on the radio, you can get us on the internet at kpft.org if you're listening online. But whatever avenue you travel to get here, I'm glad you're here. We sometimes make fun of things associated with old school, and that's a shame.
Yeah.
Old school is a category of classics, little black dresses, navy blazers, Hershey bars, and so on. But old school is also a prescription for essential values, values many of us have forgotten. Common sense, manners, sending handwritten thank you notes, not walking into class late, ownership and responsibility. Chris, it's a tough question to respond to in about 30 seconds. But as a pastor, I'd like your insight. Where have those essential values gone?
Basically, we don't instill those type of fundamental values in our children anymore. And now with this society in which everyone is so materialistic, basic values are pretty much just gone out of the core of our society.
Well, that's a shame, because the values of just respecting other people is the basic foundation of our society.
For certain. For certain.
Shannon, your father is a smart, successful man, and he doesn't like or use computers. Now, that's old school.
That is.
It is truly old school.
What's his aversion to computers?
Well, I guess it's because I'll do it for him. I'll do his emails. I'll do his checking up on what he wants. That's why.
So you're as indispensable to your dad as you are to this program.
Ain't that true?
Yep. Well, Shannon, you certainly have no aversion to excellent writing, because your posts on So What's Your Story Facebook page are outstanding. Shannon, please tell us about the must-reads you post each week.
Why, thank you, Andy. Well, I post about our great tellers every week, different storytelling events coming up around town, such as our story swap this coming week at the Multi-Service Center. That's next Tuesday at 7 to 8:30 p.m. And our upcoming Larry Thompson Concerts. That is a storytelling event for children and adults alike. That's going to be taking place at the St. Andrew's Episcopal Church on August 29th from 5 till 9 p.m. And that is also featuring our own Sheila Starks and what are the other tellers? I believe our
there's going to be Sally Goodrow is going to be the third teller.
She's fantastic. And it's going to be a great night. So don't miss it. Mark your calendar.
I am really looking forward to it.
Oh, and I also post articles every week, like Why Oprah Knows for Sure About the Power of Storytelling, Story Slam Options at the National Storytelling Festival, and 5 Tools Every PR Pro Should Be Using to Measure Storytelling Efforts. So, things like that. So, this is your place to go for all your essential storytelling needs.
If you have questions about storytelling, program ideas, would like to be a guest on this show, or recommend someone else as a guest, contact Hank at drhank@kpft.org. He will absolutely get back to you. But I want to mention the Houston Storytellers Guild. Not only do we have tellers there, but please remember, you don't have to be a storyteller to attend. We warmly welcome story listeners as well. Chris, let's get back to you. Vintage lunchboxes may be worth a fortune, but your next story is a personal treasure. Tell us the story.
Well, this story was, I don't really remember all of the events of this story, because I was really young and I was told by my parent, by my mother, actually what happened. When I was about 18 months old, I was stricken with spinal meningitis, and that sickness, that disease, caused me to be paralyzed on my entire right side. So I spent a lot of my 2-year-old years, my 3-year-old years in the hospital. The doctors had said that I probably would never walk again, and I was able to recover from that, and I went home. And I always would see my cousins going to school, and I wanted to go to school so bad. So to kind of appease me, my parents bought me a lunch kit, and I treasured that lunch kit. I even wanted my mom to fix me a lunch and put it in the lunch kit so I could eat it during lunchtime when I was home. But one day I decided that I was going to school. I wanted to go to school really, really bad. So I was about 4 years old, almost 5. I took my lunch kit. It had no lunch in it, but I took my lunch kit. And the school was actually about a half a mile from my house. And I had to cross 2 busy streets to get to this school. So I decided on my own, I found a minute to slip out. And I took my lunch kit and I headed to school. And I actually made it to the school. And I was excited to be there. But fortunately, one of the neighbors who stayed close saw me at the school, and she knew I wasn't a student there. And she called my parents, called my mom, because my mom and my grandmother was about hysterical right about now, because they're trying to figure out where I am. I was at school. And I've had a love for school ever since. And that's a story I'll always remember. And believe it or not, I had that lunch kit until the flood came to Allison. I forget what year Allison was, but I lost my lunch kit because I had held on to it that long.
That's a wonderful story, and it's Aww. A personal treasure. And I'm glad to hear it ended happily for you. Of course, you didn't tell us what your mother and grandmother did to you after they caught up with you.
Thank you for sharing that, Chris. That was such a charming story.
Thank you, Shannon.
You are listening to guest teller Chris Jackson on So What's Your Story? Always live and only on KPFT Houston. Chris, I understand that next week's guests are former classmates of yours from the storytelling class.
Okay.
They are Priscilla Varela and Nick Negron, each poised to share personal narratives with us. Chris, what was the most important thing you learned from the storytelling course?
I learned a lot of things from Dr. Hank, and I'm pretty sure next week my classmates will also share some of the things that they learned. But one of the, I believe the most important, because just in what I do week to week, preaching sermons and communicating with people, I'm a storyteller. I tell stories, and I was already a storyteller before I arrived at Dr. Hank's class, but I really didn't recognize how much my storytelling needed improving. And Dr. Hank taught me a method of sequencing the story, how to sequence a story. Because I could tell a story and I'd be all over the place. And maybe sometimes in being all over the place, people would miss the true meaning of the story that I was trying to tell them. But when I got into Dr. Hank's class, Dr. Hank taught me how to sequence a story. And that is the most important thing that I think I learned in Dr. Hank's class.
Wow, that's wonderful. What kind of stories do you like best to tell?
Personal stories. I have a lot of things that happened to me growing up that I share with people. I shared a lot of them in Dr. Hank's class. Some things tragic. Some things funny, like my tennis shoe story. And I think stories are one of the best ways that you can make a connection with other people. And in telling stories, I found that you make friends. People, you know, you make friends because it's just like when you and I were sitting in before the show sharing stories, that we found out that we had more things in common than we probably thought we did when we first arrived.
That's true. I think the first thing we realized we had in common is we're old men.
That's right.
You know, when you start talking about kids and grandkids, you know you're dating yourself.
That's right.
As a clergyman, how do you use storytelling in a service?
Mr. Gass, I think sometimes the Bible as it is written is a very difficult book to understand. And if you don't have a lot of biblical training, and I'm fortunate to have over the years received a lot of principles of interpretation training, so I can kind of look at the Bible and receive interpretation for proper application. But everybody sitting in my congregation don't have that privilege. So I understand that I have a responsibility to reach not just the biblical scholars that may be in my congregation, and I have a few of those, Lewis Dixon and Cedric Penn and some others, and that I want to reach even the smallest, from the youngest to the oldest. And I found storytelling is one of the best ways that I can make the scripture come to life for them. You know, you can tell a good Bible story all the time. Bible stories don't connect. unless you tell a real life story with it.
Ah.
And I've learned how to take real life stories from my family, from just everyday life. I told a lot of stories from Dr. Hank's class, you know, and I would let him know, Dr. Hank, I'm going to use that story in my sermon. and I think people connect with the scripture better when, and that's how it helps me. You just see people's faces light up, say, oh, okay, now I understand what that verse may mean.
I think that, of course, the Bible, especially the first book of Genesis, has great stories in itself.
It does.
But I think that you've got a very good point that taking the stories and then making it practical for somebody living in the 21st century,
yes,
really brings it home for them.
Yes, sir. Most definitely.
So being a grandfather... And, of course, we're not going to tell Chris's age on the radio. What type of stories do you tell your grandchildren?
Well, mentioning my age, my birthday is Friday, August 21st.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, well, next Friday is my birthday.
Happy birthday, Chris. I remember you told me that when I was booking it.
Yes.
So I'm very happy to give you a sliver of a birthday present.
Thank you very much.
Shannon, I think you're going to have to sing happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday. I think that's good enough.
All right. But I enjoy telling my grandchildren and my children. My son is off in college now, and I think he would tell you and my three grandchildren. Well, one of them is just a little bitty baby, so he hasn't heard some of my stories yet. But I like to tell personal stories about when I grew up, how things were when I was their age, and like you said earlier, some of the things that we shared back 20, 30, 40 years ago, our children don't have the privilege to share now. And I like to tell them stories about this is what life was like when granddaddy and when daddy was growing up.
Which I'm sure they are amazed because a lot of times they can't relate to what we went through.
That's correct. That's correct. A lot of times you get the response, no, Dad, that didn't really happen.
Well, I'm just wondering, did you tell them the story about how you used to walk through 3 feet of snow to get to school with bare feet?
Well, unfortunately, in Texas, we didn't have that opportunity. But we did get the walking heat.
That's for sure. Yeah. Tell me, 40 years ago, was it as hot in Houston as it is? The heat wave we've been going through the last week or so?
You know, probably not. I think increasingly it's become hotter. I think it's always been 90 degrees, but now I think we have a different kind of heat in Houston, and I think most longtime Houstonians would agree with that.
What I find amazing is how people actually lived down here before there was air conditioning.
I know, right? My mother grew up down here, and she told me about going and attending school here without air conditioning at all, and how, you know, sometimes when the heat just these old buildings right down, she grew up on Fairview. So just walking up and down those cobble streets, going back and forth to school, and what it's like with those fall leaves falling, and just, it just reminds, it's just so sweaty and smoggy and hot, like Houston, but it's Houston, right? I mean, it's an essential little ingredient of the city.
Being a lawyer, what amazes me is how they would sit in a courtroom with a tie and a vest and a jacket on, during those heat waves. I mean, I don't know how they survived.
Brutal. Brutal.
So I'm very happy that somebody invented air conditioning and it became very practical and commercial.
Thank you, God. They say that actually has grown the population in the South altogether and it's changed the nature of the cities in the Southern. But, I mean, it's still beautiful Houston. Even though they're demolishing those old buildings, you still feel the little ingredients of the character here.
Well, you know, when I first came down from New York, I came down in February. So I came down from New York, which had snow and it had the slush and it was gray and all of that. And I come to Houston and I'm driving down Braeswood and it's green and it's the wide boulevards and there's trees. It was just lovely. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to go to law school here, which I did. But Had I come down in August, I don't know. I might have had a second thought about the whole process.
I just remember the whole long, hot summers of just hanging out in one little room with a window unit and just listening to the water trickle through the window unit and just waiting for something to end. I don't know, waiting for the season to change, really. But it still is home.
Humor is a critical element in every human story. Mark Twain, maybe our greatest storyteller, said most things best, and he certainly knew humor better than most. He claimed, "Show me someone who knows what's funny, and I'll show you someone who knows what isn't." Chris, this would be you. You have a thoughtful and meaningful sense of humor, the kind laced with wit and wisdom, and framed by a refreshing human perspective. It was a pleasure meeting you tonight, listening to you, and laughing with you. Thank you for being here. Your kids and grandkids are very lucky to have you in their lives. And the best of luck to you in grad school.
Thank you.
Now, how long is it going to take you to get that graduate degree?
2.5 years.
Okay, and you are determined to get it?
I am.
Okay.
Maybe not 33 hours. However long it takes, 33 hours to happen.
Okay. Well, you know now you have to finish it because our readership, or our listeningship, I should say, have now heard that promise.
And if I get invited back, I promise you I'll inform you of the progress of the master's degree.
Scooter is up next with the inner side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT Houston. Make that 90.1 on the FM dial. Or if you are listening in Galveston, it's going to be... we have dead time here as I look for 89.5 in Galveston and 90.3 in Livingston, or kpft.org on your computer. So, a part of every day, and while you're driving home, tune in for the night or just chilling. Join us on Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend, right? Keep loving a great story, and we will keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. Till next week, I'm Andy Goss for Hank, reminding you it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
KPFT has launched a crowdfunding campaign to cover the costs of a new transmitter, and we could use your help. KPFT has been operating at reduced power, but your donation today will help us pay the balance on a 100,000-watt brand new solid-state transmitter. That new equipment will give KPFT a boosted signal, meaning you and the rest of the Upper Texas Gulf Coast community get a station that can be heard better, farther than ever before. In just a matter of days, we've moved close to our goal, but your contribution of $5, $40, or more could help us pay off the significant debt we've incurred to give you better radio. Donate $100 or more, you'll get a limited edition t-shirt exclusive to this Indiegogo campaign. Help provide great music, news, arts, and more to the biggest audience possible. Visit us online for the crowdfunding campaign link. It's at kpft.org and on Facebook and